Hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. Reminder, we do go into spoilers in this episode, so if you want to avoid that, start at a previous episode, play along, and come back to this one once you're caught up. So, Alex, I don't know about you, but throughout this season, I kind of just flew all over the place with the airship and stopped at every town and point of interest to discover what was out there. I suppose I shouldn't say season, I mean session. So, ever since we got this Falcon airship, I've just literally hit up every town that I knew was a town. Anything as you fly over it and you see a town, you just kind of stop and check it out.
You just kind of stop and check. Yeah. I was doing the same thing, but I was also, I will say for this part, like kind of following a close guide. Just for time's sake. And I kind of went in sort of close to an order of how they had it, of like what city to city wise.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I think I found, and I think you imagine you found this too, is that some of the requirements, whether that be like a specific person in your party for a specific place, which like you can kind of guess based on where you picked them up in the first half of the game in the World of Balance, but some of them are very specific. So if you go to a town and nothing happens, you might have no idea that something is supposed to happen there. A little bit of guide usage is helpful. I mean, back when this came out, I'm assuming this is using like one of those hotlines or using
call a Nintendo hotline to
what's it called, strategy guides that came in magazine format that I know you collect even to this day. So
yeah, I have a few of them. Yeah,
actually, now that I think about it, I'm surprised you didn't pick up one of those for this. Would have been fun.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, I think it would have been fun to have. I think I might have looked for a Final Fantasy VI one, but I have a feeling that one might have been, maybe it's dropped now, but some of them are now on the expensive side just because of the nostalgia.
That is very true.
Like I'm not willing to pay like sells. $50 to $70 for potentially a strategy guide. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like they weren't anywhere
close.
That is
a good point. That is a good point.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, no, I use a bit of a guide here and there as well, just because I didn't want to spend, 50 hours, the amount of time it takes to potentially finish the whole game just looking for things.
I can tell you on mine, so the Pixel Remaster, whenever I quick save, it tells me the time, and I think I'm up to 50, almost 60 hours of total game time.
Well, there you go. Now. That, the back of the box of all those old Final Fantasy games in this, I guess in this era too, but I know because I personally had 7, 8, 9 on PlayStation 1 that they all said up to 80 hours of gameplay. So that was a selling point back then, and it was actually a useful selling point back then when you only got a handful of games even releasing per year that were interesting enough to buy. All well and good, but now when a game advertises 100 plus hours of gameplay, I just kind of go dead in the eyes and hope that it's actually entertaining.
When am I gonna have time to
like give me a Witcher 3 that does that and I'm down. But many other cases kind of are just like filler
specific
for filler's sake. Well, anyway, so because this is an open world segment, let's just go in no particular order here whatsoever. Sure. Did you find Duncan's cabin near the new location of Narsh? Duncan being the old leader of Sabin's crew?
Yes, I did. I did find Duncan's cabin.
It was kind of funny because we didn't really meet that guy all that much or have much of a conversation with him, except picking up Sabin. But he's super useful here because you pick up his ultimate blitz ability, Phantom Rush, which is both an awesome ability that I used every time I had Sabin in my party, but also it was my introduction to the fact that ultimate abilities even exist here and can be found and unlocked. So yeah, I definitely went kind of searching for more strong attacks like that.
Strong attacks, yeah. I did too. I've had it for a while, like the Ultima weapon or the Ultima sword for somebody.
Okay, so the Ultima sword. Yeah, you picked that up.
I've had it for a while, but I haven't used it for a little bit because...
Oh, the Ultima sword. Yeah, no, I think... I don't remember who... Maybe it was Ultima weapon dropped the Ultima sword. Sounds about right. I've used it actually a bit. I just put it on whoever kind of has a fairly weak weapon and needs to scale up a little bit.
Yeah.
In most cases.
Yeah.
Did you go back to the island where we started the World of Ruin as Celis?
I did. Yes, that was, so it's not like you did, but I did that like close to the end. But yes, I did go back to the island where we started
I was curious. You know, not about Sid, because he, you know, as I think happened for both of us, he just kicked the bucket when we didn't feed him fish fast enough.
Yep.
Or fed him the wrong fish.
Oh, I think I fed him poison fish. So.
Oh, even worse. Yeah, I must have done the same then. But yeah, so going back to that island, right, if you go to the beach, you can pick up the Quetzali Magisite, which teaches the magic abilities Hastiga and Sloga. Just gotta love the final form of pretty much every magic that has one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan. Like, obviously, surprisingly, there's a lot of different magic abilities available in this Final Fantasy entry. I feel like some of them are in most, but there's a handful that aren't. Even so, I love using haste on myself and slow on the enemies just because you squeeze that many more attacks in. Quick way to kind of mop up when you're actually able to get them with it.
Huh, that's a good idea. I will say, like, I haven't used it. I have a relic on one or two of them for haste that gives haste to them. Otherwise,
yes, Hermes boots, I think it is.
Yeah, I don't use those magics. Mainly, I use, like, if I have like Thundara or Fira or Firaga or Thundaga.
Yeah. Yeah. Firaga, yeah, Firaga. I call it Firaga instead of Firaga. Thundaga and Blizzaga,
Blizzaga. They destroy. Like, I mean, they do a lot. Of damage.
They crush. Then, they do really well. But if you're in a fight that's more elongated, it's also useful to like put a status effect on them, and then kind of like buy yourself more time to get more hits in.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I also have Reflect on quite a few people too, which is really helpful.
I like that, but I kind of bounced off of using items to heal my party and started really using Cura and Curaga a lot. And then it really bothers me when I forget that I have a Reflect Ring on and then heal the enemy. happens way too often.
I use some of the best for healing is Mog.
Like one of his dances?
If you do Wind Dance, one of the things that comes up is Sunbathe, I guess.
Okay, but so and that's like kind of random, though, isn't it?
It heals like 1,100 to 1,500.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, I don't think I knew
that. It's random. So, like, he could do whatever. I think there's, like, Wind Slash. There's Plasma that comes out of it. But then Sunbathe comes out, too. So your party can just... And he's like Gal, where once you do it, it just keeps going.
Yeah, it just keeps going. But here's my question, though. Go for it.
No, I was just saying it's helpful. There are times where I've had my people down halfway and then boom, he does it and it does it to everybody.
So and everybody's okay. Back up. I guess someone could know this by like digging into the code, but do you think it reads, it does like an if then kind of pass through check of everyone and says if below X percent health use this ability, or do you think it's literally random RNG?
And I think it's random.
So let me ask you this question. How often have you put on a Wind Dance hoping that it would be a heal and then everyone dies? Or have you just lucked out?
No, I've just lucked out. I'm not going to lie. I've lucked out.
All right. Well, then you're just a lucky guy, I guess.
Also, for some people here, like some boss that people will talk about, I've got through, not quick, but semi-quick, because what's Edgar for me with his chainsaw does like up to 5,000 damage a hit.
Nice. Always good.
I mean, for some of them, it's like a quarter of their health, and it's like, okay, well,
I think once I pick up, not with Gao, because Gao has a really, really diverse skill set in his rages, but with Mog, there aren't so many abilities. So whenever I use one of his dances, I kind of just put on Snowman Rondo, which I think was the most recent one I got. I mean, I should probably like discern a little bit more about what exactly I'm doing to who, but
yeah.
But it's good to know about. What's it called? Wind something?
Yeah, it's called Wind Dance. I think it's Wind Dance.
Wind Dance.
Yeah, it has, it's like Wind Slash, Plasma. Wind Slash hits everybody. Plasma sometimes hits multiple, but usually just hits one. And then Sunbathe just heals everyone with a good amount. So
okay, maybe I'll take that in because, that's... Mog is a fun dude to have around, even though he stumbles all the time.
That's the thing. You got to get, like, if I can... stay up. There have been times where it's been a couple people have got low on health and I just keep doing Wind Dance until he doesn't stumble, and then sometimes Sunbathe is the first one or it's the second one and then my team gets healed back. But
exactly,
but you're right, he does stumble a lot.
So, okay. And then I did end up, I know we talked about it last time, which was, okay, the world got destroyed. Does the Veldt still exist? And yes, it does. Mm-hmm. I found it and got Gao back, and I'm glad he made his way back there after the world fell apart. I knew it was, I was in the right place instantly with that music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it just plays, and that's, it's an interesting case too, because everywhere else in the world map, the music changes to the standard battle music when you get into a combat scenario. In the Veldt, it just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many options, like grind the Veldt a little bit here and there for new rages, because I fight new enemies and think, hey, maybe I can take their skill because it was super useful. Like I fought this guy named Io at some point, and I was trying to find him, and I just started grinding the Veldt because obviously you don't get any experience there, but I was just like looking for this one dude, and it took just grinding it for so long that that music is way stuck in my head and I can't stand it anymore. But it was entertaining before that. I guess this is a bit of a, you know, age of the internet now tip, is if you want a specific rage from the Veldt, they actually go in a set order, I think.
Really? Oh, okay.
And that may or may not apply, or I just really lucked out and finally found it. I don't know. And it, actually, you know, now that I think about it, I just found Io eventually just by luck. But I think in your version in the Pixel Remaster, you can save scum to save right after the group that comes before it, and then keep reloading it until you find the right enemy.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Oh, okay. Interesting.
In the event that you know, either want to do that right now or play this again one day.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't done as much of getting all those different types of rages for Gao. It's just, I have quite a few of them, but I have like 3 to 4 that I use a lot, and I know they do a good amount of damage
each time.
So
yeah, so I mean, okay, I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of Terra as a black mage of sorts. Plus, her trance ability is awesome, both visually and, in my personal opinion, functionally, with its extra damage and extra defense, even though it's a bit short-lived on that meter, because we found her last time, but she wanted to stick around with the orphan kids. So I went back to mobiles trying to find her. And all the kids are alone in their basement under that house, all of them saying Katarine's pregnant and she and Dwayne were kissing. So good for them. Well, that's great and all, but I absolutely do not remember a Dwayne or a Katarine, and we saw them supposedly just last episode. They must have been there in the background with all those kids, but I don't really remember any conversations with them.
Yeah, they were. I think it's when you first go in there on that time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it was in that
they're
same
somewhere
house.
In the back. If you go and talk around or whatever they say,
Well, you know, you hear this story from the kids, they're gone, and then you go find them in yet another basement by following the dog into a weird corner behind a bookshelf.
Oh, yeah.
What's with the World of Ruin and the hidden staircases?
There's been a few of them.
It's like, what a random trope to create. But Terra and Katarine are both down there. Dwayne's stuck upstairs being an asshole ever since she got pregnant. Pretty rude, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes downstairs to apologize, but just like that, Humbaba is back.
Yes.
And is a double whammy this time, too. Because he fights you back to back.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, that's right.
But I will say, after a handful of Phantom Rush attacks from Sabin, he used his Humbaba breath move twice in a row and literally blew Edgar and Gao off the battlefield, and I couldn't find them anywhere after it at all. Turned out they were back on the airship the whole time.
Okay.
Humbaba sure has some strong lungs, huh?
Yeah, he does. I don't actually know if he used it again in this fight against me. He used
it. It could, depending on when you got people, it may have depend on who was in your party.
Yeah, he used, 1,000 needles was definitely what he used.
Yeah.
That was annoying. I don't remember who was in my part. Who's in your? Yeah, who's? Because it's
at this point it was Sabin, Edgar, Gao, and I guess it must have been Celis.
Yeah, because then someone. Oh, maybe he does. Because you only fight him against is it 3 people?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two get blown away, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right. You're right. So yeah, so two of mine did get blown away. I forgot. So then I had Tara, I think Edgar, and then who was my last one? It may have been Saban, or it might have been.
Yeah, it might just be luck. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, this guy's got strong lungs to literally blow two people off the ground up into the air and somehow land them directly onto an airship.
Onto the ship.
It makes me wonder how he would have performed in Blitzball in Final Fantasy X, since they hold their breath. But, you know, blowing away two members was just the intermission that allowed that tranced version of Terra to join us and then wipe out Humbaba once and for all. I gotta say, this is where I just abused Phantom Rush, and I love that ability. And, you know, I think I just, you know, ever since then, I just haven't really stopped using it whenever Saban's around, unless he needs to heal someone for some reason.
I don't think I've used Phantom
Okay, Rush you should change much. That now.
What is the one? Oh my god, I can't remember. I use the one that's like the meteor strike that hits multiple enemies.
Sort of meteor strike. It's like fireballs. I think it might be called meteor strike.
Yeah. No, the meteor strike one is like him lifting someone up and throwing him down.
Okay.
Which one's Phantom Rush again?
Phantom Rush, he just jumps on him and then spins around in a circle around him.
Okay,
and supposedly is punching the whole time.
Oh no, I haven't used that. I've used Raging Fist. And then, yeah.
But you said you have Phantom Rush from Duncan earlier, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you should stop using everything else and start using that.
Okay.
Trust me.
I will. No, I will.
But anyway, we kill off Humbaba. The kids are scared because you see Trans Terra. But, you know, she comes back to normal. They realize it's her and all good. And so her motivation for now finally rejoining us is to make the world a better place out of love for those many kids that she's a foster mom to, and for, I'm assuming, Dwayne and Katarine's eventual baby. So good on her, and good on us too, because Tara's great.
Yes.
She is. I will probably still call her my MVP at this point. Did you realize, this is not specific to any given moment of the story, but did you realize that equipping the Genji Glove relic allows you to dual wield weapons instead of a weapon and shield?
No, I don't think I realized it. I think I have it on somebody too, but I think I might have what do I have? I got to check that again. I think I have that on someone, but I didn't think I realized what it did.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. I guess I might've noticed two weapons on a character before and wondered like, oh, that's cool, because I placed them there, but I didn't realize it was associated to a relic specifically. I thought it was just something that character had. Or that's something that all characters could do. And then I would try to equip in the left hand and it would remove the weapon from the right hand. So I was super confused for a while. Yeah, I thought it was that particular character's skill set. And then it made me realize that was what it was, because I removed it and one of the weapons got removed. So I put it back on. It also made me realize I should have named Shadow, because you can name all these characters. I should have named Shadow as Genji from Overwatch.
Yeah.
Practically the same thing.
It is practically. Yeah, it's very close.
You know, he throws shurikens and he has a katana. It's like the same thing. No dog though with Genji.
No.
Let's see. Now, it was about this time for me that I realized just how much I love flying the airships in this game. Obviously, here the overworld map isn't even all that huge, and there's not necessarily all that much to do with the airship other than fly. Spot something that catches your eye, land and explore the area, or fly deliberately to where you know something is. Or I guess a third option is go inside the airship itself and talk to people, change your party, etc. But
I will say though, quickly on this airship, what I loved about the old airship was that you had a place inside where you could go heal your teammates for free, and
yes,
you could buy stuff. Where here you don't have that, and so you have to go to a town or. I was like, God,
definitely
really
a bit of a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to go to a town or go to the overworld and use a tent or.
A bit
annoying. Mm-hmm. This is a very good point. Yes. They should have included that in the Falcon. I feel like they could have set it up.
I think so too.
But yeah, so I think it's, you know, the speed that you can fly over the map just gave me kind of a bit of pure joy without any destination in mind, and watching the world whiz by underneath. And then it dawned on me exactly why I liked it so much. So it reminded me of the many, many, many hours I spent playing the game Chocobo Racing as a kid on the original PlayStation. And I'm sure that Chocobo Racing had its flaws, but for me, it was a fantastic kart racer in my prime of living Final Fantasy as a series. I just loved Final Fantasy back then, and so Chocobo Racing was the perfect complement to it, and I couldn't get enough of it. Really good memories from that game. I was very disappointed when they tried remaking it as a cash grab for Switch that was all focused on microtransactions and the typical season crap.
Yeah.
That stuff is ruining gaming, to be honest, in that corner.
Yes, it is.
Of the industry, yeah. But fortunately there's enough backlog here that we'll never have to touch them if we don't want to, which we don't. From here, I went back to Narsh, figured I'd check out the caves, because that was like one of the very first places that we fought people in, and stumbled upon Mog, who's just literally staring at a wall.
Yep.
Mog, in this moment, kind of reminded me a little bit of the weird dudes in Temmie Village in Undertale we played back in season 5 of the podcast, because they're just super quirky. But luckily, chatting with him let him join our party again, which he was delighted to do, considering he thought we all died. He joined, but not before mentioning he thinks the Yeti will join us too if he orders it to. Only yep. Mog immediately went back to the Falcon, and I didn't want to fight a Yeti. In that moment, that sounds scary, right? Not that we haven't fought more horrific, difficult things like Ultima Weapon and demons and all that stuff, but you can't possibly recruit a Yeti to your party, right? So I assumed it had to be a mini boss of some kind. And then, you know, obviously, okay, of course I did want to fight a Yeti. Who doesn't want to fight a Yeti in a game like this, in a snow? So I realized you needed Mog. I bailed out of the cave, went back to the airship, put him in my party, and started this process over again. But I went in the front door of Narsh this time. And there was that, you know, as you go towards the back end of the Narsh area, there was a small Esper-looking dragon sprite flapping around that ice canyon that we defended Narsh from Kefka way earlier.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm assuming you fought him here.
I fought the ice dragon.
This is my first of the 8 dragons. Don't know what order it came in for you. It's funny though, because the sprite in the canyon almost looks cute. Like it almost looks like Spyro or like a cutesy dragon. And then you go into battle and see that it was like, it's not even, it's funny because it takes all the dragons just like put a color swap on sprites of other enemies in the game. And this one in particular was just like this dinky little, like, I don't even know, like lizard kind of thing that maybe looks like a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I underestimated it after I saw that, but it turned out to be pretty strong with high ice damage, of course.
Yeah, it did. But, I mean, I don't know. I got through it. I think I had...
It wasn't that tough. I mean, you see an ice dragon, use fire on it and call it a day.
Yeah, I use fire. Yeah, exactly.
And then past that up on the cliff, found the Esper trapped in ice from the beginning of the game, fought it, and by beating it, you actually free it this time. And it turns out to be an Esper called Valigarmanda. And boy, am I glad I did find it, because the magic it teaches are those three main Aga spells, Fyraga, Blizzaga, and Thundaga.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can guess that obviously I immediately put it onto the mages to have them learn it as quickly as possible.
Smart. I forgot who I put it on now. But they actually, yeah, I think I might have put it on. Yeah, it might have been on Celeste.
That's a smart choice. That is one of the best choices. From there it becomes time to hunt the Yeti, and it was here in the Yeti cave where I finally bust out of my shell and tried out more of the status effect magic abilities. Right, I was talking about Hastiga and Sloga, so I started using them really at this point. In other Final Fantasy games, I kind of defaulted to tons of elemental magic, you know, the ones we were just talking about, but here I felt like I kind of needed more than that. So I set invisible on myself, so a vanish ability.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
To not get hit by some of the high damage, you know, physical attacks. And then I used silence on the Yeti. I used silence on enemies, which is, you know, it cancels the ability to use magic, which is a thing that happens to us sometimes. So they couldn't use their super heavy hitting magic on me. Both worked wonders, and as long as they continue to work, they'll stay part of my skill set, although obviously heavy hitting damaging magic seems to be more the name of the game these days.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess at this point, right, we were talking about this Yeti. Like, could you really have a Yeti as a party member after Mog says member. That? And well, they actually did it. You can have an actual Yeti as a party member.
Yeah, you can. It's cool.
And he's got a name. Yeah. He's got a name. Umaru.
Umaru? Yeah.
I suppose the fact that you can have a Yeti as a party member shouldn't surprise me, considering most Final Fantasies I've played have at least some kind of oddball non-human character, like Red 13 and Kate Sith in 7, that kind of rooster-looking dude that I don't remember the name of from 9, and I guess even Zidane, the main protagonist of 9, has a tail. And then you just recently played 10. Isn't there like a blue humanoid lion thing?
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. And I'm now forgetting his name.
Kimari, maybe?
Kamara. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Kimara. Something like that.
Kimara. Yeah. He was cool.
He's kind of totally. But hey, Umaru the Yeti is pretty cool from a design standpoint. Kind of lackluster, in my opinion, as a powerful party member, but he's still entertaining to put in there. I kind of stayed away from using him too much because you can't control him at all. He's just there auto attacking. And here's a really random note here that, not random for us, actually, it's just a random observation. This is the second time after Kefka that we see a character in battle, both as a really beautifully detailed painted character, as well as pixel art.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Because you fight him and then you get him in your party. What a random other character to do that for. I figured it would be Kefka and that's it. But hey, all good. Went on from there to save Shadow from the behemoth in the cave on the Veldt while I was farming a bunch of more new rages. Nothing particularly special there, but I'm glad that his dog Interceptor helped you find him.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, at this point, I because of Shadow, he wasn't immediately in your party after that. I was like, well, I want Shadow. So I looked it up and found out where to find him.
Found out where to get Shadow.
Because I had heard about the Colosseum, I believe, from someone mentioning it on Discord and didn't draw me all that much. But I'm glad that I looked it up because I found out that Shadow is there. Hilarious that Ultros is now the receptionist of the Colosseum.
Yes, I thought that was pretty funny.
Like, and here I thought we killed him once and for all, and nope, he just went and decided to change his job because he kept losing.
Yeah,
the fact that it was the weird old guy's dream from when he found him all hermit style in that cabin in the World of Balance to build this thing, and then he's thanking Kefka for making it possible. Just rubs you the wrong way. Like, what a bootlegger.
Yeah, it does.
Kind of reflects in the real world. And then the Colosseum itself is it's a unique implementation here. I'll give them that. You know, this is a turn-based, menu-based JRPG-style game, and all those games already remove a degree of control away from you by, you know, just the very nature of you not controlling your party in real time. And then here you don't even control their moves. You just watch them fight and hope you get the best.
I think as long as you pick the right person, I forgot who did you pick for the whole fighting sequence against Shadow, because obviously, as you said, you can't pick your moves. It's just automatic. And so knowing that, I would like find that out. Luckily, I had, I think, Edgar in my party, and I picked Edgar because I was like, well, he has chainsaw and crossbow for me. And if they does those, it's going to do a lot of damage. So I was like, I'm more than likely going to win. So I picked Edgar for me. And that's who
I hear that. I actually, because I had just picked up Umaru, I tried it with him because you can't control him anyway. So I tried him and he kept dying. I switched to Mog just because he would just happen to be in my party and I didn't want to go back to the Falcon. And he immediately wiped the floor with Shadow. So
nice.
I don't remember which dance he ended up using, but he just crushed him. But yeah, I mean, it's an intriguing concept. I like what they did with it. It's not something I wanted to invest a bunch of time in because, you can't control their moves. You just watch them fight. Like, And then on top of that, you have to bet an item, and you can permanently lose your item if you lose the fight. So, you know, yeah. I would not have enjoyed being those guinea pigs who lost a bunch of valuable stuff in the name of getting of writing guides for the internet and figuring out the intricacies of every single betting combination. Kind of wild stuff. So I'm glad I knew exactly how to get Shadow back, and I don't think I ever came back here.
No,
It's a cool mechanic. I'm sure some people just like love the hell out of it, the risk reward there. So I just grabbed Shadow, a couple pieces of other equipment in that same round, and moved along, and yeah, I never went back.
Yeah, same. There was no reason but for me.
At the end of the day, I'm just too risk averse to gamble my precious items, and then too lazy to constantly reload a save if I bet something big. So I took a pass. Yeah, no thanks. Just give me the guarantees.
Yeah.
Or the RNGs. So Cyan is such a goofy, gentlemanly romantic. Wouldn't you say?
Yes. Yes, he is.
I think, yeah, he's definitely one of the best comic relief characters here. Maybe the second best after Ultros. You know, I
agree.
I would put him maybe in first, except for what happened with his family and this kind of moral of the story type moment that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are much more poignant kind of exceptions to the comic relief side of things. But yeah, you know, he's decided to ghost write letters to the injured, now dead soldier's girlfriend Lola for a whole year just to keep her hope alive. You know, his family's got, and I don't think he has any romantic interest in her at all. He just wants to, like, keep the dream alive for someone else. So he's doing this also from the top of a mountain, like, how poetic, using that same carrier pigeon postal service. And even though she started to suspect it wasn't him in the first place, she just kept sending responses back.
Yep. Yeah, it's a funny thing with Cyan.
It's just super
goofy.
The
way he speaks, the way he's like all the he's like however many flowers all back there, just keep sending one after the other after each letter comes back.
Yeah, yeah. And then when someone shows up at his cliffside doorstep, he finally realizes that the charade wasn't worth it in the end. To just perpetually delay her coping, and decided to stop. So, you know, thanks, Cyan. Did you at any point go back to Miranda with Cyan in your party and talk to Lola?
I don't think I have. No,
You know, it's one of those many moments that's like a couple seconds worth, or like three boxes of dialogue. But okay. He kind of just says, "Hey, it was me." She's like, "Yeah, I realized it wasn't him." And you know, he just like gave this kind of moral of the story thing of, yeah, everyone should, you know, cope and then move on. So, yeah. So Realm was busy painting a demon-possessed painting, and Strago got lured into a cult to Kefka. Like, what an odd family.
Yeah, it's a very odd family.
It's like, you know, they do these weird things. They go and hide away. I mean, I guess the place that they're from is just this town that uses magic but tries to hide it. Whatever. I guess teach their own. That's exactly the kind of society they want to live in. But do you think they purposefully designed the rich guy that Realm was painting for to be as close to Jabba the Hutt as possible?
Yeah.
Just much, much creepier, since Realm is very much only a kid, unlike Leia.
Yeah, I think he did a little bit. Yeah, he did sort of look like a Jabba the Hutt to me. He also looked to me, because I played it after I'd literally like just gone to Disneyland the day before. I was like, it kind of looks like a giant, like Mr. Toad.
Okay.
As well.
Yeah. No, it's definitely more frog-like than Jabba, and more human looking too. But it kind of just rubbed me the wrong way, the way that he looked.
No, I agree. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I did, because you have to get Strago there, I did start up the cultist tower, realized it was just a challenge dungeon, and decided to bail out, since from what I could tell, there really wasn't any story to extract from it. I felt it was better to spend my time elsewhere.
Yeah, I didn't even try. I think at that point, someone in our sleeper in our Discord had mentioned something that it wasn't nothing really great in it, and it's just a little extra if you want to do it. And I was like, you know what? Right. And I read a little description about it, and I was like, I'm good. Like, I'm not even, I didn't even try. I got Strago back when I got Realm, got him back, and then I was like, nope, not even gonna try the tower.
Oh, Strago. Okay, that's another way to say it. I don't know why I've called him Strago in my head. Strago makes more sense. No, I don't think there's, I mean, maybe there is an official way, but I don't think we've heard anyone talking about it, so who knows? It's got to be one of those two, though. But yeah. Continuing on with him and his story, did you go fight Hydon?
Yes, I did.
So, in case anyone didn't do this part, Strago and his old pal Gung Ho were hunting this giant legendary monster called Hydon as young adults and never managed to find it, maybe find it, but not beat it. And he lives in a randomized dungeon and some minions that all have completely different weaknesses surround him, kind of like those tentacles that jammed up the gears of the Figaro castle before. And then so you beat it, and then you go back to town and hear the rest of the story, and it turns out that after all of Strago's old man style bragging story of beating him, Realm and Gung Ho had been scheming the whole time to get him to actually do something about it.
Yep. I found that was pretty funny. It was all just
the way that they convinced him was that Gung Ho was pretending that he was like mortally injured and was, you know, needed the revenge, and he was never injured in the first place. What a good friend, though.
I know.
You know, I hope one day you'll hatch a plan with my granddaughter to get me to take action if I ever become an annoying old dude full of crap.
Okay. I will. I'll think of something.
Yeah. Yeah. Please do. Please do. Bookmark this for like 30 years from now. Being killed.
Speaking of this, did you go talk to Gung Ho after you beat him while he's outside? Did he say anything to you?
I did, but I don't recall what he said, to be honest.
So for me, he said like first off, he says like, "You okay? Everything good?" and something around those lines. And then I went back and talked to him again, and then he said, "Oh, someone said they saw the monster again at the cave." And so
didn't see that.
Yeah, I looked it up, and like on the guide I was looking at, and I guess there's a 12.5% chance that that Hydon comes back. He respawns at Ebbet Rock, and you can fight him again.
So I wonder what the point of doing that is. Just more grinding?
I guess there's the point. You have the opportunity to learn an ability called Grand Delta, which...
Oh, I did get Grand Delta. I use it a lot.
I did not, and I fought him twice. I went back the second time and fought him and beat him again.
Oh, did you?
I did not get Grand Delta, and I was like, well, I don't think he's coming back. So, and I wasn't going to reload and try again. I'm like, I'm not trying. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I know. Grand Delta is very useful. It brings up this giant kind of triangle that looks like a black hole, and it spins around, and it does a lot of damage to everyone, every enemy. I like it.
Oh, very well. Good for you for getting it. I did not get it. So I tried to get it on that second opportunity, but I didn't get it there either. But that's okay.
Well, that's sheer luck for me then.
Yeah, it is.
Later, you have an opportunity to be inhaled by a sandworm straight out of Dune.
Yep, I know what you're talking
about. And it's totally worth it. It was just a really weird dungeon, though, because there are these weird soldier guys guarding broken bridges who don't fight you when you touch them. They just knock you off the bridge. So for the second time in Final Fantasy VI, we have a version of Frogger to play here, where you have to like dodge these guys and then hop across bridges. And then there's a springboard chest jumping minigame again in a future room. Mm-hmm. And then finally you find Gogo, who's this mysterious gypsy looking character that can literally use anybody else's special unique ability except Terra, from what I can tell. There's no trance option. Reminds me physically, at least, if not skill set wise, of the character in Final Fantasy IX that looks like this weird anthropomorphic ghost frog with a chef's hat and an apron. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, and I don't know what they're called.
I don't remember off the top of my head. No, it's been so long since I've played IX. Like, I can't tell you so long.
I will say, you know, it looks like the thing from Dune, but also getting inhaled is like Jabu Jabu from Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously Ocarina of Time came out after Final Fantasy VI, so I'm wondering if the inspiration came from this or if they just, you know, came up with it. But I have to imagine it was in the back of their heads, even if they weren't thinking about it consciously.
Oh, I'm sure.
From here, with Gogo in hand, I went to the ancient castle. I'm not sure if that's something that you did. I believe you mentioned that or you showed me a photo of it, right? So this is, if you go into Figaro Castle and then you do the transfer under the earth from desert to desert, right?
Yes.
And then the engineer tells you the gears are, you jammed up on something, so you can get off of the castle. It's weird to call a castle like it's a vehicle, but here it is.
Yeah.
And you go through the cave, and then the cave that we used to infiltrate the castle earlier, and then you're in an ancient castle, which is very, you know, kind of old school style. It looks like something out of Dark Souls, to be honest, if there was a pixel Dark Souls. But it's very much Japanese themes and quite fun for me fighting samurai ghosts and, you know, battling through a couple people. And you get the Odin Esper, which I always enjoy having when I use it in a Final Fantasy game. That meteor spell that he teaches is so great in so many cases.
Yeah. Yeah, I did get all that. That was a fun part to go through. I haven't used his. I've equipped it to somebody. I forgot where I equipped the Odin one to now, but I have equipped it, but I haven't got to use it yet.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely do that while you're doing this last part of the game here.
Okay.
Because Meteor is fun to use.
Okay. Also in this part, did you collect the Blizzard Orb?
Maybe. I want to say maybe no, because I don't remember that.
So does the Blizzard Orb
do something?
Yeah, I picked up the Blizzard Orb, and then when you look at it, it says, maybe put it on a Yeti, see what it does. So I put it on something along those lines. I put it on the Yeti, on Umaru. And yeah, you can't control his attacks, but he starts with like a snowstorm or blur or whatever instantly, and it does a ton of damage. And then he does slam and other stuff that does a ton. But it starts off instantly with like, I assume he didn't do snow. I don't think he did. I didn't use him too much before, so I can't remember. I don't think he does snowstorm before. I think he kind of just rams people, if I remember rightly. He just starts with the slam. But yeah, he starts with a strong snowstorm that hits everybody. And then he can do that a couple times. Yeah, it's good though. I like it. It definitely does a good amount of damage. It's good for him.
Okay.
So if you have it, I'd put it on him.
If I have it, I'll look at my item and see if it shows up.
Yeah, it's one of the...
Maybe it's in there. It's a relic, you say?
Yeah, one of the relics.
Not relics. Yeah, maybe it's there. I just didn't read the description or know what it was. Good tip. Did you do the whole dream sequence with Cyan?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Man, for such a cheery guy, he has some dark dreams.
Yeah, he does.
It doesn't help when elf gnome guys enter your head and then your friends enter your head too. Mm-hmm. You know, as if he didn't have it bad enough. You've got everyone in your business, but at least he got some closure with his wife and son.
Yeah, he did. It was nice that he got some closure, but I will say, so the first, like the little first bits of battle in there with those three guys, what were they called?
And they looked like the Keebler elves.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't even realize this. They're called Kurlax, Laragorn, and Mobius. So Curly, Larry, and Moe. That's why they called the Dream Stooges.
The Three Stooges. All right, there you go.
Oh my God,
this makes a lot of sense.
Just looking it up now, quickly seeing the names. That's so funny. Yeah, fought them. They weren't actually too hard. I got through them pretty quick, especially because I had, I think I had Edgar in my party, Terra, Mog, and then Cyan. So it would have been those four in the party. Mm-hmm. I was able to just do a lot of damage, get through them. They weren't so hard. The last boss, that's like holding his soul or whatever, the wreck soul.
That guy destroyed me.
Such an annoying fight. I actually beat it on the first go, but it took, I feel like, three times longer than what it should have taken.
Right. I don't disagree with you there. It's pretty,
because he goes into one of your guys.
Yeah.
And you don't, like, random. You don't know which one. And the only way to get him out is I didn't have, and no one in my party there had a spell that could get him out. So basically the only way was to get one of my party knocked out. Like that person had to get knocked out, like fully killed. And so I ended up, and with Mog, I'd done Wind Dance. So I'm like trying.
Oh, so you can't even control Mog. Yeah.
I'm trying to kill my own party members.
But then and also healed all the time.
Yeah. But then I couldn't use magic because then also a couple of them have reflect and it just reflect back on the enemies. I was like, oh my God. So I just had to do regular physical attacks on them.
Wow, you really
luckily, whatever I have, whatever I have on Edgar, I have like a strong sword on him. So he was doing like 1,000+ damage. Mm-hmm. But it took me a while. I killed each party member to find out where he is. And then I'd like bring him back with a Phoenix down. And then luckily with Wind Dance going, then Sunbathe would come in and bring him back if I. But then there were times where I'd get him down to like 30 health and then all of a sudden Sunbathe comes in and it's like back up to 1500. I'm like, oh my God,
this good is taking so long. That's a good combo. You know, I ended up, I got so pissed at that fight that I ended up, I looked that one up. And so the again, I had something somewhat similar, but I ended up finding out you can use Petrify to turn a character into stone. So I had someone that had, I don't remember what the actual, I think it's called Break is the name of the skill that turns them into a rock.
Like Break or Banish?
That's Break. Banish makes them literally go into a black hole. But so I used Break and it did the same effect because I wasn't able to kill anyone. I was trying to deliberately kill my own party members with attacks and it wasn't working fast enough. So yeah. I used the Break strategy. That was the only option.
Yeah, it's just...
Good times.
By the time I killed, like, I was doing a ton of damage to him, but then there was just, he went, starts off going red into somebody, and then I got him out, and then he went back in, and I was like, oh my God, it's just taking so long to.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, Alex, it's 2:00. I got to get off, actually, because I'm in a hazard class right now. If we can find some time, hopefully late. I mean, if you're available for like maybe 10-15 minutes tonight, otherwise can
I should be able
that's
to.
probably makes the most sense. Yeah, I have like a handful more notes about finding Locke and some stuff, but it should be like maximum 15 minutes later.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. Yeah, all right, thanks. All right, okay. Talk to you later.
All right, see you.
But don't forget to stop it.
No.
Or pause it. So I stumbled on Death Gaze randomly while just flying around. I know you and I talked about it briefly outside of this. You know, the giant purple vortex in the sky and on land was super scary looking. And then the fight itself turns into this weird cat and mouse game because despite Death Gaze itself being super creepy and scary looking in its art, it realizes it's outmatched and just keeps running away.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I fought it once, like right at the beginning of this episode. Like, I fought it just flying around randomly. I like just randomly flew into the black hole, just kind of popped up out of nowhere, and I flew into it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, and I fought him, and he ran away. And then since then, I've seen him. I've seen the black hole once flying around, and I've just avoided it. I was like, I'm not even gonna. Because I looked it up, and I was like, I'm not gonna fight him.
Okay, I hear you. Yeah, and that probably was the right course of action. I realized you gotta keep, we found out about Death Gaze in the previous episode because someone in the town was mentioning it.
Yeah.
And once I realized you had to, it runs away, I realized you have to, like, chase it down and just fly around and chase it down, but there's no, like, set rhyme or reason of where it's going to be, so it's kind of annoying. But I decided to just go after it anyway, because why do you want something like that in the sky? And basically just attack it runs away. I think it ran away from me like 5 or 6 times.
Oh jeez.
So it's quite annoying. And then when you finally whittle its health all the way down, it does indeed die, and it's like it doesn't even take that much damage, but I think it tracks the damage you've done when it runs away, and it starts from that point instead of respawning all of its health.
Yeah, I read that. It doesn't respawn the health.
Okay, I was going to say, because otherwise then he's got like a very small health pool. When you finally whittle its health down, it dies, and it gives you the Bahamut Esper, which is an Esper, well, it's a summon that I also have. Many of these late game summons are always very entertaining to use in most of the FF games I've played, especially just in how the you know, the scene of them attacking is. But, you know, this extra layer here of the Esper also teaching you magic is very useful, because Bahamut teaches you Flare, which is great. And you can get versions of Flare in other places. I think at least one of the rages that Gao has can do Flare. There's probably some other spots too, but I put Bahamut on my mages just to get Flare equipped for sure, because it's just so good at dealing damage.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I think we had our kind of interesting experience. I don't know how early or late you ended up going in search of Locke.
It's about probably midway for me at that point. For character-wise, of how many I had.
Of like the characters you were seeking back out.
Already. Yeah.
Gotcha. I, for whatever reason, he was the last one that I found. But it puts you into that scenario where you have to actually create two parties again. Yes. Do you happen to remember who your two parties were here?
I can tell you when I have two parties, I always have one that has Terra and then one that has Celis.
Okay.
Like, so I always never put them always, together. No, I mean, always
it,
split
it makes
them.
Sense because they're both, you know, have a similar skill set and very strong.
And then usually I'll put someone like, I'll split usually like Cyan and Edgar or someone like that, or just because then I know, because they both have too strong, like with Flurry with Cyan, Cyan, or Chainsaw with Edgar or whatever. And then I usually keep Sabin with Edgar, and then Gao is like with Cyan. And then
Cyan was part of the party when you find Gao the first time, right? So it kind of makes lore sense.
Yeah. Because I definitely had Cyan and Gao at that point. So I probably had, it's probably Terra, Cyan, Gao. And then who would have been the fourth? And then it would have been Celis, Sabin, Edgar. Was it groups of four?
It was groups of four if you had up to four people already. If you had up to eight people already available by then. I'm
trying to remember. I may have only had groups of three.
Yeah, that's probably reasonable too.
Yeah, I don't remember then who my fourths would have been. Maybe Mog? Oh, I might have Mog in one.
Oh, yeah, that's probably likely. Yeah,
I didn't have Strago. I didn't have Strago, I don't think, yet.
Okay, interesting. Maybe you had Setzer, because we found him last time around, too.
I had Setzer, like, this whole I didn't even, like, use him.
That's not very nice. I mean, he's not that. Yeah, you know, Setzer, I found, usually has pretty bad defense. And, like, I like his slots. Special ability, his regular attacks is garbage. He's not a great magic user, so like I don't, yeah, it, I had to grind him up the one of the most characters. Yeah. I had to grind up one of the most for towards the end there.
I would have had Umaru in one. Yeti.
Interesting.
Yeah,
my two parties for that section finding walk were, one party was Celis, Setzer, Shadow, and Gogo.
Shadow would have been. Yeah.
And then the other party was Mog, Sabin, Strago, and Gao. Is just always on my short list of whenever you have to choose a party, it's almost always like, should I not take Gao and level up somebody else for once, or should I just take him and brush through things? He often ends up there anyway. And then I also, you know, I knew from all the conversations I had with NPCs before that this is where Locke was going to be. So I had to include Celis for obvious reasons. And then everyone else was in those two parties was just the lowest level party members I had, because I wanted to start leveling them up. Regrettably, I did leave Umaro in the dust because I kind of just stopped using him. And I really wanted to use such a unique, unusual party member like a Yeti more, but he wasn't really effective enough for my taste. I'm glad you got some use out of him, though.
Actually, now that I think about it, you just remind me, because you said you had Shadow. I had Shadow, so it wouldn't have been him. Yeah. It would have been Shadow. Okay. It would have been Terra, Shadow, Cyan, and Gao is what would have been one party.
And then it would have been Celis, Edgar, Sabin, and Mog.
Yeah. Okay. Would have been my other party.
Do you use Shadow's throw ability very often?
Yeah, with shurikens. Yes, I do.
Okay. Have you tried out the Fuma shurikens yet?
I have, yeah. I used them on a couple of the bigger bosses.
Yeah, so obviously there are still single attack throw like shurikens, but the elemental scrolls are useful that hit all enemies.
Yeah, I had a fire scroll with him I used.
But and you can buy them in some of the towns. So yeah. I think Tamasa, the magic, all magic people town, which is now like this really tiny island in the bottom right corner of the map, they sell Fuma shurikens. So I had enough cash to just like splurge and get like 50 of them because the thing I'm using the most with him right now rather than a standard attack. Just an FYI in case you want to do a quick pit stop before we continue on. And then, you know, as you enter into this, I got to say, this must have been the coolest dungeon in my immediate memory of this game. It has the flavor of, and was probably at least somewhat the inspiration for the Water Temple in Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm.
With the flipping switches puzzle to drain the water, which then hardens the lava that lets you cross to the other area, which it's starting to realize or dawn on me that there's a lot of kind of echoes of this game in Ocarina of Time. Whether purposefully or not, it's just kind of an interesting coincidence.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Two great games, though. And the enemies here were tough, but I found them to be pretty fun overall and kind of like a nice even matchup, except for the face, the floating giant head.
Those things were,
They just walloped me over and over when it showed up and just like legit just kept crushing me. But As I kept running into them, I was just trying out literally random rages that I hadn't used yet. So every time I came up against one, I just kept picking one at random from the list and seeing if it would do anything. And there's a rage called Rafflesia, which I don't know if that's one that you've seen. I think it was some like flower looking enemy at some point. So Rafflesia's rage, it basically casts a type of charm or confuse type status effect that's called entice.
Okay.
Which just kind of broke me loose from the cycle of dying to the face. Since basically what it does, it makes them attack their own team or themselves, and it doesn't wear off no matter what.
Ooh, okay.
So like confuse, if you attack someone with a physical attack, maybe a magic attack too, if they have confuse status, if you do any damage to them, it breaks them out of confuse and they're no longer attacking people. Entice, they'll just go until they kill themselves.
Oh, nice. Okay. Ooh, I gotta see.
Kind of game breaking. It's a bit cheap if you think about it, but yeah. I endorse it in cases like this where someone's really just giving me a run for my money and I don't have any other solution for it.
Okay, I gotta see if I have that one.
Yeah, and actually, I believe as I was checking in every once in a while with the guide, I think you're in the Pixel Remaster, I think there's a bestiary in there that you can like go and scroll through and see if you've even run into that enemy or not, and before wasting time in the veld.
Okay. Oh well, yeah. All right. I will. Yeah, I might take a look at that. Maybe I'll go back. Yeah.
So I mean, cool dungeon, nice design, a bit of like the semi-environmental puzzle solving involved with the switches. This is where at least I ran into and beat the final of the 8 dragons that I encountered while roaming around and putting my crew back together. After I killed it, it said there were 3 dragons left, so I guess I've done 5, but I have no idea where those other 3 are. One is probably at the top of that damn cultist tower, but no thanks, I don't want to do that. And the other 2 I didn't see anywhere, so who knows.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. I think I've killed, I think I'm at 4 or 5 of the dragons as well.
Yeah.
But again, it was just more of ones that were in.
Ones that were in our path. Going and
exploring. Yeah.
It was not an explicit goal that I set myself to go and get all the 8 dragons, so I'm okay with it. Now, by comparison, the 3 gigantic dragons in Zelda Breath of the Wild, I farmed those guys like crazy for whatever it is that they dropped and I've now forgotten, but that was pretty entertaining. It was fun to just see a dragon floating across the sky.
Yeah. Wow. I was like,
you remember those guys?
Yeah.
There's a fire one, an ice one, and a lightning one. And
for a split second, I was like, what are you talking about? And then, yes, I remember.
If you try to land on them, you just like get completely destroyed because their element kind of kills you, basically, and you go falling out of the sky. But I think they give you, I don't know if it was, if you shoot them, they give you like a piece of star or a piece of dragon. Scale goes flying into the distance. Honestly, I really don't remember. It was a couple years ago I played Breath of the Wild.
Yeah,
but same. It was totally worth it.
No, it was totally worth it. That's a great game.
And yeah, so after the, you know, I guess I realizing now we were, this is an episode about Final Fantasy VI, but we're talking about Zelda over and over again.
I know. Well, there's some similarities.
Funny how it goes. So after the dragon, you finally find Locke, and Celis had a touching reunion with Locke, as expected. Or was it touching? Locke finally found his legendary treasure that undoes death, and so he's still dead set on using the Phoenix Magisite here to bring Rachel back from the dead, his old girlfriend.
Yes.
I don't know how touching that would be if you were Celis watching it all happen. Yeah, I you know, you don't really get an immediate sense of, says it's to restore his honor, but is it that, or is he just wants to get back together with her and Celis be damned? But once you get to the house there in Kalinjin, the Phoenix does indeed revive Rachel, but only long enough to let her have a final conversation with Locke. And at this point, you know, it's somewhat predictable, but she gives her blessing for Locke to give his all into his new love. Lucky Celis. After you just saw him go after the old one. Okay, now I guess I can be with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I got permission.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what his whole mission was. I just want permission to be able to do it and move on. And yeah, after finally finding Locke, I was kind of just ready to go finish this thing and take out Kefka. I mean, you couldn't say it better than Locke. I think we've been keeping Kefka waiting too long, is what he says, or waiting long enough.
Yes.
So I, from there, went and did my final prep, which was just putting the Valigarmanda, Alexander, Odin, Bahamut, and Ragnarok Aspers onto the four power mages, Terra, Celis, Drago, and Realm.
Okay.
And rotating through them so they could all learn the elemental Agas, right? As well as Holy, Meteor, Flare, and Ultima, respectively, because I know how powerful they are both in other Final Fantasies and here. And then I just did the bit of grinding in that dinosaur forest to level everyone up to at least 40 minimum and decided to call it a day.
Oh, you went to the dinosaur forest?
Did you go in there?
No, I read about it, but I didn't go in there.
Those dinosaurs are no joke.
Yeah.
I was absolutely demolished every single time I saw the Brachiosaur enemy until someone in my party finally learned Ultima, and I used that combined with other people using Flare, and then finally won.
Okay.
Those Brachiosaurs, I mean, they basically just, like, within one round of my turns, while I was still choosing my attacks, they would launch off, like, two or three things that would kill two people and then an Ultima attack and kill the rest.
Oh, geez.
So I just get wiped. Okay. The Tyrannosaur is the other enemy in this forest, and they regularly killed me too because they were able to use Meteor. But regardless of dying to them, it seemed to be the kind of the best place for me to quickly get XP. But man, grinding is a slog. You know, I love turn-based JRPG combat, and they did it so well here overall, but I find I'm not here or in any JRPG just for the combat. You know, I want the story, I want the exploration, so it's not just to literally go and do combat ad nauseum. It kind of grinds my gears. So anyway, I just did the dinosaur forest to quickly level up 40-ish. Everyone ended up kind of like in between 40 and 45, I guess. So I guess I'm okay with it now that it's in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I mean, I want to know, I've been playing on the Pixel Remaster, and I will say for the nice thing that they added is, and I don't care if some people may think it's a cheat or whatever, but I don't have as much time to play with full-time job and everything. So I went into Boost and boosted my XP up to I don't even know. I think I might have done two times or maybe even four times just to get some of these characters up to, I think they're up to 45 is where I want them. And then I got to there and then I'm done grinding and now I've turned it back down. But I was like, I don't have the time to just.
That makes sense. I mean, it's honestly like this is supposed to be fun. If it stops being fun, then take the quality of life option that you've been given, you know, by the remaster developers. Like I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
And I chose 40 kind of as a goal level for the final dungeon really arbitrarily, since at the time that I made the decision, everyone was in their low to mid 30s, and 40 was just the next big bump in numbers I imagined would be sufficient for the final dungeon. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. I've done some grinding before. I think everyone for me was like mid to high 30s. So I was like, oh, I'll try and get them to, and then I think maybe one or two might have been over 40 just because I'd used them more.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? I'll just try and get them. There are 14 total we have, and I have 12 up to 45. And then two of them I didn't even touch, and they're in like mid to low 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe I'm super overpowered. Maybe I'm really underpowered and
I don't really get
crushed immediately. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll wait and see.
Anything here that we didn't bring up already that you saw or did?
I don't think so. I'm looking through one little thing, not of what we've seen did, but I just for Shadow for me, you say you do the shurikens a lot. I forgot what weapon it is. Of the weapon I put on him, there gives me an opportunity of when I strike somebody, it being like basically a critical and a one hit kill. Yeah.
Okay, so there so you just are use regular where, attack then?
Yep. I use regular attack because it does a lot of damage regularly either way. Mm-hmm. But then there's a chance of it, like it goes like, it basically makes like a ping noise and the enemy just disappears and they die because it's a one hit kill.
Man, so, good for you.
Yeah, it's a pretty good knife. I forgot what it's called, but it's, yeah. I
also have find out like what it's called. If you find out what it's called, throw it in Discord because I may or may not already have it and want to equip it.
I think I have something similar on lock as well.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'll look them up and I'll throw them in Discord. I'm just looking through guy quickly. I don't think there was much else I did extra.
On top of all
that we haven't talked. Yeah, we haven't talked about.
Well, so I guess this then becomes a question for anyone listening, since you know both Alex and I are mentally ready to go into the Kefka Tower, but haven't actually entered yet. If we still have time, if there's anything that sounds like something that you would definitely recommend that we do, but we haven't done yet in the open world, let us know on Discord. Absolutely curious to see like what did we miss that might actually be a game changer or worth our time.
Yeah, as I said, the only one I'm not doing the Cultist Tower.
I won't be doing that either, to be honest.
That one is that's a no for me. But if there's anything else,
don't need to do two towers in a row.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but anything else, let us know. Well, for next time, no need to keep this vague anymore. Our goal is to fight your way through Kefka's Tower until you beat the game. You know, now that I think about it, throughout the entire World of Ruin half of the game, we haven't seen Kefka even once.
No, we haven't. You're right.
He was just kind of an ever-present character and part of the World of Balance. So it's like a really interesting shift tonally, like it makes everything darker, but then you don't even see him. So his like comic relief segment of his personality isn't showing at all here. I mean, I suppose in his godly state, in his practically literal ivory tower, he doesn't need to be making any appearances. And after being so in your face in that first half of the game, he's much more like Sauron, being that ever-present evil presence off in the distance. I think I can only assume he's the final boss of the game. If anyone else is the final boss, it would be a massive twist.
Yeah, it definitely would be.
But I'm ready to take him out. Let's go finish it.
Yes, definitely. I'd say I'm looking forward to finishing it, but I have really enjoyed the game a lot. So far,
it's been great. Yeah, I want to see how it all wraps up.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening, and we look forward to talking to you next time about the end of the game and seeing also how you guys felt with the whole end of the game and how it went for you. If you want to follow along and discuss our playthrough of many games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name. Thanks.